I'll tell you a quick story till they get back in, and I'll give you the sermon, okay? Quick story. We're up at the men's retreat, right? Brother Whitey was there. We were all there. Had a great week. I mean, praising God. I mean, the Spirit is just flowing all over the place, all over the mountains. We're having a good time. Nobody had any ticks. We go to leave. I start my truck up. I go to turn it around, and it's acting like it's missing 2 cylinders out of 8. I couldn't even hardly get up the bank to get up to the driveway out of the field and I didn't drive my truck all weekend, you know, so I'm like, what's wrong with this thing? Engine code's coming on. The engine's like, you know, I'm like, oh, Lord, what is going on? So I get my code reader out. I stick it in there. It says number 7 cylinder's not firing. Something's wrong with the injector. The A-bank injector system, something's wrong there. I'm like, oh, boy. All right. So I hit the reset button. You know, you turn the engine off, hit the reset button to reset everything, kind of like your clock at home. Or reset it. So I start the truck up again. Same thing. Same thing. It's not working. The engine code comes up. I went, what is going on here? So I reset it again. I tried it 3 times, right? Brother Whitey comes down. He goes, that don't sound good. And I said, no, it don't sound good. We got like 240 miles to get home, and this truck is not working. So what are we going to do? Whitey says, let's pray. So I said, okay, let's pray. So I'm sitting in the truck. Whitey's out there. He's laying hands on my truck. We're laying hands on a vehicle, right? We're going to resurrect this diesel, right? We're praying. Okay. Started right up. Praise the Lord. Started right up. No engine codes, nothing wrong. Isn't that cool? So I go to work, and I tell the guys this at work. They go, what? You're praying for a truck? You're laying hands on a truck? I went, well, why not? God's the great physician. He's also the great mechanic. He made everything that went into the truck, right? He's the great mechanic. He fixed my truck. It hasn't given me any trouble since. Praise the Lord. He did it. Didn't have to go to a mechanic. I mean, it was really cool. I'd like to see that happen all. Wouldn't that be cool? Every time your vehicle breaks down, you pray over it. God fixes it. We'd put the mechanics out of business. You know what? Maybe we can get some of those mechanics to become ministers. That'd be even cooler. Enough of my stories. Let's go to one of Jesus' stories. We're looking at we're in Matthew chapter 20. Now, I got to back up a little bit to give you some background as to where this parable came from. I don't want to just jump into the parable without giving you the context. Where did this parable come from? So we're going to back up a little bit into chapter 19. And I'm going to paraphrase that a little bit, okay? And we're at verse 16. So Matthew 19, 16 is kind of where we're going to start out, and we're going to read through there a little bit to get to chapter 20, is where the laborers in the vineyard starts. That's where that parable starts. But what was going on before Jesus spoke about this parable? What was going on? Just looking. Yeah, I think I'm good. I can make this work. I'm good. I got my glasses on. I can see somewhat. Getting blind in my old age. Can't read the small print anymore. I need longer arms. So, starting in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, I'm going to paraphrase some of this. A rich man comes to Jesus, right? And he asks Jesus. He says, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And Jesus answered him, says, Why are you talking to me about good? There's only one good person, and that is our Father in heaven. I'm paraphrasing. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. And the rich young man said, Well, which ones? Which commandments should I keep? Don't we ask that sometimes? Lord, which commandments should I keep? We always like to kind of fudge a little bit, you know what I mean? We're kind of skating down that that side road a little bit, and you're going, I'm just almost ready to break this commandment. I'm skirting off the side of the road, right? But Jesus makes it very clear. He says, you shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Oh, I love this one. Honor your father and mother. All the children are going, they need to hear that. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the rich man said, I've done all these things. I've kept them all. Oh, Jesus, I'm good. Everything's great. Then Jesus says to him, well, tell you what. Sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. And what do you think the rich young man did? He sold everything quick, right? Gave it all away and went, oh, I'm a Jesus freak now. No, that's not what he did. He went away sorrowful. He went away unhappy because he was a rich young man. Now, all the apostles were there, okay? And they're looking at this, and Jesus makes the comment, truly I say to you, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the apostles, when they heard this, they were astonished. Then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All right? So that brings us to Peter, who says, behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or farms for my sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. And that brings us to our parable about the workers in the vineyard, which I'm going to read, if I can keep the pages from flopping all over the place. Starting in chapter 20 of Matthew, in the first verse, we have the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius, a penny, for the day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. And so they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you, go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius, a penny. And when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have paid them equal to us who have borne the burden of the scorching heat of the day. But the landowner answered and said to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. The parable I have just read is very interesting because it does not follow accepted labor laws that we are used to in our modern times. The IBEW would have a heart attack. What do you mean you're paying this person who only worked an hour the same as the people who worked 12 hours? God is gracious. God can give what He wants. Peter was quick to see the contrast between the wealthy ruler and the poor disciples. And that's what brought about this parable. This parable was pretty much spoken for the disciples and the people that had heard what had happened to the rich man. Peter said, "We have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Jesus gave them the marvelous promise of rewards in this life and the next. They would even have thrones when He established His kingdom. Whatever good things they had forsaken for His sake would be returned many times over. However, Jesus detected in Peter the question of possibility of wrong motives of service. This parable is not about salvation. You can't work for salvation, right? It's a free gift. But Jesus is trying to explain that there would be work in His kingdom. We work in the vineyard, okay? And so possibly Peter had a little devious motive. Okay, well, what am I going to get? I've forsaken everything. I was a fisherman. I had a fleet of boats. I even rivaled bubblegum shrimp. Okay? Not really. But Peter had a livelihood, and he walked away from it. Now, I don't know if God's asking any of us to walk away from our livelihood, put on sackcloth and sandals, and start walking towards Alaska preaching as we go. But He has called us into His kingdom, His vineyard, okay? And there's work to do there. How are we doing that work? We have to think about that as we go along here. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Okay? For it says in 1 Corinthians, So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. All right? God makes the growth happen. All right? God is going to reward you what He sees fit. If you take and look at what happened to the laborers in the parable, my page is turned, the wind's moving that. Do you remember in the beginning of the parable, in verse 2, he says, "When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into the vineyard." That means there was a contract. He went into the marketplace, which is where the laborers would go, about 6 o'clock in the morning, sunrise. All the laborers were there looking to find jobs. He found a group of laborers. He said, "I want you to go work in my vineyard." And the laborers probably said to him, because it doesn't say here, but it does say he agreed for a denarius, the laborers were probably trying to form a union and said, "Hey, what are you going to pay us? We need to get paid. You know, if we're going to work for you all day long, what are you going to pay us?" And the landowner said, "Well, how about a day's wage, a denarius?" And they went, "Okay, good." And they shook hands. Need handshaking. Thank you very much. There's no one in the front pew here except for Brian. I'll come over to you next. All right? So they had a contract. All right? They're going to get paid a penny. So they marched right out into that vineyard and, and they started putting the manure around the roots and stuff, and they're trimming the grapevines, and they're looking at the bundles of grapes, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they did it all day long. Now, when you look at the other people that the landowner hired, And he went about the third hour. So that would be 9 o'clock in the morning. The sun is just starting to get hot by now. So he went to the marketplace and he found more workers. But it's different. They didn't agree on anything. And he saw others standing out on the market. And to those he said, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. And so they went. They trusted the landowner. While the first group of laborers didn't trust him, they wanted a contract. They want that denarius. So the next group, and then the group following, they all went out trusting the landowner. The parable is emphasizing right attitude in service, okay? What's the right attitude? Not to worry about what God is going to give you for your service, okay? What rewards you're going to have in heaven. The right attitude is to go and work for His glory. To work for that right motive. Not worrying about what's going to give. Do you think God is going to be substandard when we get to heaven and He says, well, this is all you're going to get, right? I have a story. I have a story of a pastor and a taxi cab driver. Okay? The pastor got into the taxi cab, and he told the driver, you got to get me to the hospital really quick. We got to get there fast. And this taxi cab driver, true to his trade, he's driving like a bat out of, you get what I mean? They get into accident and both of them are killed, okay? And the taxi cab driver and the minister both get to the pearly gates. And St. Peter's there to meet them. And he takes them in and he says, gentlemen, I'd like to show you your heavenly reward. And he takes the taxi cab, or the pastor says, the minister says, go, you can let the taxi cab driver go first. Okay? He's thinking, and I'll just let him go, because he's kind of, you know, watching. So St. Peter says, okay, so he takes the taxi cab driver, and he takes him up on a hill, and there's a beautiful mansion. This thing has 350 rooms and 37 bathrooms, two kitchens, a swimming pool, all gilded in gold. Beautiful! He said to the taxi cab driver, welcome to your eternal reward. The minister's going, oh man, if a taxi cab driver got this beautiful mansion, I can't imagine what I'm going to get. So St. Peter goes, okay, come on, pastor, I want to show you where you are. He takes him down over the hill, and it was a very nice structure. It was gold, it was gilded, but it was the mansion's outhouse. He says, here you go, pastor, this is what you get. And the pastor is like indignant. He said, What happened here? What's going on? I was a pastor. I preached the word. I baptized people. I gave sermons. How comes I get a gold outhouse? And St. Peter says to the taxi cab or to the pastor, he said a funny thing about you. He said, it's very interesting watching from heaven. When you preached, people slept. But when the taxi cab driver drove, people prayed. It's all about attitude, okay? When that poor taxi cab driver was driving like a bat out of, people were praying. The pastor, he was just going through the motions, so to speak, and nobody was praying when he preached. It's all about attitude. That's what this whole parable's about. There were two kind of workers. There was the worker that wanted a contract. We want to know what we're going to get. I want to be paid. I feel like I'm going to get shafted somewhere along the way here. And they got their contract with the worker. And then there's the other workers who said, I'm going to trust you. You seem to be an upright landowner. We need a job so we can feed our families. And you only hired us at the third and the sixth and the ninth, the 11th hour. We're going to trust you. That's the thing about working for God. You have to trust Him. You have to be have that right attitude. We have eternal life. That has been promised to us. But anything beyond that is God being gracious to us who have the right attitude of working in the vineyard. I want you to think about something. The world is the marketplace. It's full of people. Okay? God is going down into that marketplace and He has called you, all of you, and said, I want to save you. Come work for me. Have any of us made a contract with God? Or are we trusting in Him knowing that if we're faithful in our work to love God, to love others, and to go, that He's going to reward us? Why do we need to worry about the reward? Like the rich young man, he had wealth. Jesus said, keep the commandments. The rich young man said, oh yeah, got that covered. No problem. Oh, love my mother and father. Everything's covered. Okay, Jesus said, okay, get rid of all your wealth. Sell everything, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the rich young man went, oh, I can't do that. Oh. He walked away from the greatest wealth that he could ever have. All because he put his hopes on that wealth. That's why Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven, which astonished the apostles. I think that is astonishing. Have you ever tried to take a camel and put it through the eye of a needle? I can't get a thread through the eye of a needle. I got to put my glasses on with a magnifying glass and have Amy hold the needle, Natalie hold the thread, and I'm going, okay, here we go, because my hands shake too much. I mean, that is astounding. A camel through the eye of a needle? And the apostle said, well, then who could be saved? And Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. Can you imagine that? All things are possible. He fixed trucks on the mountain. Amen? Amen? He does things so miraculous in your life that you're spreading the gospel at a flea market, right? The miraculous happens around us all the time if we have the right attitude to see it. How often does our attitude get in the way of things? You know what I mean? I'm not a coffee drinker, but in the morning I get up and have a hot cup of tea. I know people that got to have at least a pot and a half of coffee before they can even start moving. I'm not saying anything against coffee drinkers, you know. But how do you start your day? What kind of attitude do you have in the morning? How upbeat is it? I've told this to some of the higher-ups at MedEd where I work. They come in, you know, they've got 6-7-figure salaries. They're in a suit. I'm in work clothes. I'm fuzzy. My hair might be hanging out a little bit. I got dirty hands. You know what I mean? They want to look down on me a little bit. Oh, Dave, you're one of the employees. You're just an employee. I look up and go, I don't care how much money you make. If you're wrong, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. You can't talk to me like that. You want to bet? Because I tell them, I don't fear you. I fear no man. No man. I said, we put our pants on both the same way, right? He goes, well, yeah, I think so. I said, well, how do you put your pants on? I jump out of the bed, do a 1.5 into both legs at the same time, and I'm off running. And they're like, huh? I put it on one leg at a time. I said, well, then you need to grow up a little more. Come out and work with me on the line. I'll show you what it really is to work, college boy. It's attitude. Everything's about attitude. We're working in the vineyard for who? For God Almighty. He's our employer. He's our Father in heaven. He's brought you into His family. He made you a son, a daughter. And He said, I got a life for you that you ain't gonna believe. This year is my 40th anniversary for graduation, my 40th year graduation, whatever they call it. Okay, I'm going. I can't wait to get there. When they get a look at me, they're going to, who is this guy? I'm Dave Webster. I'm a minister of the gospel. Some of them are going to faint. They're going to faint. They're going, you? Dave Webster? The same guy that did that? I mean, I was a wild man in high school. I did a lot of dumb, thank you, honey, I love that. Dumb things, I did a lot of dumb things. Who hasn't done dumb things, right? Huh? Remember back in your, Bob, remember back in your high school days, you know? Maybe just out of high school, you're out of high school, you get freedom, you got a job, you got a car, you know what I mean? You're 21, the sign says, Miller High Life. Okay? Dumb stuff, you know what I mean? Who'd have thought I'd be called to be a minister? I'm the last person that I would have thought, looking back then, Dave Webster? Oh my gosh. His middle name should be Debauchery. He's terrible. If someone's going to drink a fifth of whiskey, it's him. And then drive when he's done. It's all about attitude. Let's drop our attitudes. Let's get an attitude of gratitude that God has called us to work in His vineyard. Can you imagine that? Working in His vineyard, right? Kind of get off a little bit there, but the marketplace is the world, okay? God calls laborers. He's called you. Guess who else is out there looking for laborers? I'll give you three guesses. First two don't count. How's that? Come on, who is it? You got him. He's out there hiring laborers too. Okay? And we see them in our culture. They deny God exists. Oh, they're laboring hard too, aren't they? Think about it. We're in a war. Okay? The laborers in the vineyard, they were in a war against bugs, against drought, against black blight that gets on the grapes and ruins them. They're in a war. We're in a war too. There's all kinds of bugs out there eating at the foundations of our Christian nation. They're like termites. They're in there gnawing away. God doesn't exist. Jesus doesn't exist. Oh, it's all a bunch of fables. My ancestor's a monkey. That's what they tell you. I got an ape for an uncle. And I look at them and go, okay, I can see where the family resemblance is. All right? But we're working in the kingdom. We're working in the vineyard. Satan's hiring people too. Don't doubt that for a minute. We see it in our culture. When God says that, and Jesus quoted it, He said that the first will be last, and the last will be first. What do you think that means? That's kind of a confusing thing. The first is going to be last, all right? And the last, we're going to move up to the front of the line. Doesn't sound fair, does it, from our mentality? You know what I mean? The ACLU would have a heart attack. What do you mean you're going to take the last people first? What do you mean you're going to pay those people that only worked an hour a penny, and the ones that work 12 hours, you're going to give them a penny? They'd have a fit. But here's what's going on. Those first workers, okay, they didn't trust the owner of the vineyard. Their attitude was mistrust. Well, I'm not sure we're going to get a penny. We're going to be out here all day in the heat. working hard. We better get a contract here. I want to make sure we get that penny. I got a family to feed. So can you imagine when the landowner turned it on him, he started paying the last workers first and gave them a penny? I can just see the first workers, the ones that work 12 hours, going, oh man, they got a penny for an hour, let's see. We're going to get 12 pennies. They had an attitude of greed. They had an attitude of mistrust. So the next workers come along, and they get a penny. Now the wage is starting to drop. Well, we're going to get 4 pennies for the day. But when it all came down to the end, the landowner said, here you go, here's your penny. I'm going to go after Brian here because I didn't touch him yet. Here's your penny. Okay, penny, now grumble a little bit for me. You're unhappy. No, I want more grumbling. Okay, I want more penny. All right? And what happened? The landowner said, hey, didn't you contract me for a penny? I gave you your penny. Was I unfair? Am I allowed to be more gracious with what I own to anybody I want? Our Heavenly Father's like that. He's going to be gracious beyond our wildest dreams. Please don't make a contract with God. Don't hem yourself in where, okay, God, I'll do this if you... Don't do that. Leave it wide open so that you have the right attitude. I'm doing this for your glory, God. I can use an example. I'm struggling to get through my college stuff. I mean, an old man like me, college? I should have did it years ago. I was stupid years ago, okay? I'm not doing it for recognition. It's hard to get through college. I mean, they gave me some big books to read with some really big words. Boy, am I glad my last name's Webster. Whew! I mean, there's some suckers in there that if they were worms, you could catch trout. Big words. My attitude is I want to serve my Lord. I want to serve Him. Whatever it takes. If He has me shoveling manure somewhere, okay. Because the King of Glory has asked you to do it. Does it matter where you're working or what you're doing here in this world? It doesn't. Have that attitude of gratitude. Have that attitude that I want to bring glory to your name, Lord. Can you imagine what's going to happen? You're faithful in a few things. Someday He's going to give you more. Give you more responsibility. Give you more reward. Give you more of an opportunity to serve Him. This I have found, okay? This I can tell you. This is the truth. I have found this, okay? Working in the kingdom, working in that vineyard, out amongst people, the more you listen to the Holy Spirit and do what He asks, the more He's going to talk to you. The more He's going to give you an opportunity to impact somebody's life. I mean, I've prayed for people on the steps of restaurants in West Virginia with all the guys I work with going, what in the hell is Dave doing? They go piling in there because they're hungry. I was hungry too, but the Holy Spirit told me to talk to this poor woman standing on the steps, right? Because she was upset, and I prayed for her. She turned out to be the cook. She was going to quit the job. We'd have got in there and there would have been no cook. And when the guys asked me, what are you doing? I said, well, the Holy Spirit asked me to pray for that woman. And it's a good thing I did it because she's the cook and she was upset. And I now just calmed her down. And now she's going back to cook. You wouldn't have lunch. I said, isn't God good? And they look at me like, this man is off his rocker. I am. I'm off. I'm standing on the edge of my rocker. It's teetering, and I'm going, okay, Lord, what's next? Life is great. Be a worker in the vineyard. It doesn't matter if He calls you at what time of the day, right? Think of the day, the 12-hour day as your life. We have some workers in the vineyard who were called very young, okay? And they worked all those hours and stuff, and they're going to get a penny, all right? Some of us are called at the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, How about the 11th hour? It doesn't matter when you're called, just answer the call. Go work in the vineyard. Do it for the right attitude. Be happy about it. Don't go, oh man, I got to make that. Oh, I got to do a Sunday school lesson again. Oh, man, them kids are driving me nuts. No, be joyful about it. Hey, I can tell you a real quick story. Last night at 12 o'clock, Pastor Rich calls me. David! And I have Amazing Grace as his ringtone. So I was asleep. I went to bed at 9 o'clock thinking, I'm going to get a good night's sleep. I got to be ready to go, energetic, not be all baggy-eyed and tired. And I'm always nervous when I preach. Right now I'm not nervous because the Holy Spirit's got a hold of me and I can't stand still. Okay? So at 12 o'clock, the phone's ringing. Your dad. David, did you send the bulletin to Miss Beth? No. Was I supposed to? Yeah. You never told me that. See, this is the first time I did this whole service myself. I did the whole order of service. I picked all the hymns. I'm doing the sermon. I mean, I've never done that before. I didn't know I was supposed to send it to Miss Beth. Okay, all right, I'll get it to you. So I run up to my office, I turn the computer on, I get it running, I get all my email and stuff, I get that thing going, and I type out the, well, here it is, I'm sending it to you now, and I send it, okay? I didn't have my phone, I come downstairs, I turned everything off, got out of that stuff, turned the computer off, I go down, my phone's ringing again. It's Amazing Grace. I pick my phone up. Hello, David. There was no attachment with your email. Huh? There was no attachment. He said, I got the email, but there's no attachment. Where's the order of service? Oh, well, I forgot to attach it. All right, I'll send it. So I run upstairs again. All the while I'm going, I should be asleep. So I find it. I get it out of the documents and stuff, and I clean it up a little bit because I had notes in there. And I paste it in there, and I send it to him. And it worked. Miss Beth got it. I don't know, it was probably 2 o'clock in the morning you got it, or you didn't get it. Well, he put it all together then. So in the middle of the night, he's putting the whole thing together because David's a boob and doesn't know what he's doing. Right? God bless Pastor. Isn't he wonderful? That's how we got a service today. I mean, I put it together, but there wouldn't have been nothing for you guys to follow because there was no printed out bulletins. We ought to try that sometime. Maybe I should have said, no, I'm not sending it to you. Good night. I just hung up the phone on him. You know what? You think he would have came over after me. Amy, don't open the door. The pastor's mad at me. Don't let him in. Set the dogs to guard. Okay, turn the lights off. Nobody's home. Nobody's home. It's the right attitude. You know, I didn't get mad. He woke me out of a dream. I was drooling. I bet you that pillow was wet. Probably had a chew mark on it because it feels like a marshmallow. I mean, I was in la-la land. And this Amazing Grace, I went, oh my gosh, did the rapture occur? Amazing Grace. I'm going to heaven. No, it's just a stupid phone with a pastor on the other end going, David, did you send? You know, some people would get mad. Well, that stupid idiot, why didn't he tell me to do it? You know, blame him. I didn't blame him. I said, I didn't know. But I'll help. Good attitude. I went back to bed. God let me go back to sleep. Amy was still up. We need to lay hands on her that she could sleep at night because she's an insomniac. Chronic. Oh, yeah. You too. Oh, Nick. Let's get all the insomniacs up here. We're going to lay hands on them. All right? God heals, right? Russell, you insomniac? You sleep good? He's just shaking his head. I'm not even sure. Dave's at being a nut up there. I'm going to just be quiet. All right. But you see what I mean? The right attitude. Because God searches the heart. God is going to look at the very essence of your being, okay? When you get to heaven, you're going to be stripped of all this. You're going to be naked, okay? You're not going to have clothes, and before the rapture, you're not going to have skin or bones. And God's going to look right down into you and your very core, and He's going to see the attitude that you had through your life in every situation, in every job that he asked you to do. Did you do it joyfully? Or did you do it begrudgingly? Attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. They tell you that in the worldly seminars. You go to a seminar that to help promote better attitudes and better workers and yada, yada, yada. They tell them, the attitude of your workers are everything. You get a worker with a crummy attitude, oh, he's not working very hard. Okay, yeah, I got to get that shovel out and help dig a hole there around that pole. He's not, you don't have the shovel and he's ready to go. He's dragging the shovel behind. Oh, that stupid Dave Webster, and I got to dig this hole. We got to dig a trench. The wire's down there. I can tell attitudes. You can tell attitudes. How's your attitude today? How's your attitude toward God? I don't care what he's going to give me. He already gave me eternal life. I have that. I have the Holy Spirit. I don't care what he gives me. When I get to heaven, it's going to be a joy just to be there. If he wants to give me a golden mansion, okay. If he wants to give me a vineyard somewhere where I can sit in, and for 1,000 years and be quiet, that would be okay. You know? Does it matter? It don't matter. All that matters is that he called me, that he loved me first. He loved you so much that he sent his son to die. A horrible death. Put nails in his hands, stuck a spear in his side. They beat him, that the flesh hung off of him. And why? Because he wanted to open a way that we could have a relationship with his Father in heaven. I'm ready to go in the vineyard. How about you? You ready to work? How's your attitude? Attitude is everything. An attitude of gratitude.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.